Amen. Enjoy that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. I'll give you a quick report on the activity center that met with the city on Thursday. Many of you were praying for me as I met with them, and they had about five or six things of they called issues. And so some things we've got to work through. You know, you always go back and forth. You present the building plans, and the city comes back with changes, and you go back and forth. So just be in prayer for that, and it looks like it will delay us a little bit longer, but we waited this long. So, but it's you know, as a pastor and the one who's trying to push it forward, it is frustrating, and so I've been trying to be kind, and that's all you can do. And you can't, you know, getting upset with them is not going to change anything. In fact, it's going to make it worse. So we just be kind and gracious. And some of you who are in that field and who work in the building and having to get permits and things know that. And there's been some reshuffling in Haslett. There's new people that who have a lot of say and whom we don't know very well. We're getting to know them through this process. And so it'll be fine. I'm smiling on the outside and frowning on the inside. It was my job to get up here and say, you know what? It is going to be. And it really is. It's going to be fine. If we got to wait another 6 weeks to get started, that's the way it is. I don't hope we won't have to. I hope that they'll let us start on the dirt work sooner than that. Possibility even still that we could start this week, depending on how things work out. But the building itself, as far as past the dirt work, it will be several weeks before we can do anything besides dirt work, because there has to be a permit in place before that happens. And right now, there's still some things we have to bring to the city council to get variances on. One of those is a fence that's required between commercial and residential. I know maybe you don't care about this, but we've been able to kind of slip past that the last two or three building projects, that there should be a fence here on the north side, on this side of the building, between us and those houses that's required of all businesses. To build, like what's behind the storefronts across the street from us, and what's behind the Dollar General, that's what's really required by technically by the rule book on the north side, not on the south side. But you're talking probably $50,000 for a fence. You say, why would it be so much? Because it has to be built from the front of the property, 100 feet past the activity center. That's a long, long, long fence. And so it would be very expensive. So y'all pray we're going to ask for a variance on that so we won't have to do it. And there's a variance. There's a new rule. Some of these guys don't think out their rules. That's why I'm being kind. But they have a new rule that says you can't build a building taller than 30 feet next to a residential area. This building's 42 feet tall. The new gym is like 34 or 36 feet tall. So anyway, we'll have to get a variance on that. It'll happen. So that's what you can pray about. Just pray that as we continue to work through these issues, and the dirt work guys are ready to start. If we can get the permit for the dirt work, hopefully we can get that this week. So we'll see. Be in prayer. We are discouraged, but not forsaken. No, I'm not discouraged, honestly. It's going to go through. We had a bad Thursday, though. It was bad. We had a city tell us all that, and the architect, and it'll be fine. I've said that five times, hadn't I? Let's preach. How many of y'all, don't raise your hands, how many of y'all enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning? And there was a lot in that. I hope that we didn't drown you. But I really think the next three or four Sundays it'll become even clearer to you. As it becomes clearer to me, I'm enjoying studying it. Because I think in my own mind I want to solidify that break between the law or grace, as it pertains not only to a lost person but to a Christian. And so we'll look forward to that throughout the weeks. Tonight's a very simple message based upon something that's been upon my heart. We've already preached similar messages in the last few weeks, but I want to again emphasize the importance of being a Christian and what that means. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if you go back in this section of Scripture, Paul, again, correcting the church at Corinth, and he goes on to say to them, hey, it doesn't matter who baptized you, doesn't matter quit being divisive in the church. Quit causing dissension in the church. And he goes on to say, verse 5 says, "And who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Aren't you glad of that? As a Christian, our job is to go out and tell people about Jesus, but it's God who gives the increase. Sunday school teacher, again, your job is to simply give the gospel. Your job is to go out and bring them in, but God gives the increase. And tell them about Jesus, but God gives the increase. Verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything," we're just clay pots, we're just earthen vessels, "neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." That was one of our themes one year. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, God's garden. You're God's building. Listen, we are laborers together with God. As we go out and we tell others of Jesus, as we witness to our neighbor and our cousin or aunt, and as we witness to our coworker, we are laborers together with God. We are not alone. Remember that. When you're talking to that person and inviting them to church, or encouraging someone who may have gotten out of church, or encouraging a lost, you are not alone. We are laborers together with God. And so always remember that. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Upon what? "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for your love. We pray tonight that you enable us, encourage us to live the Christian life. We'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian foundation must be Jesus Christ. He is the foundation for our life. God laid his Son as the foundation. We see this in Isaiah 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone." I love this. A sure foundation. Listen, I'm to stand upon Jesus Christ. He is a sure foundation. He's a solid foundation. If I stand upon him, I won't move. He's a solid rock. And there's a lot of songs that go through my mind. I'm glad I'm standing on the rock. Standing on the rock that can't be moved. He is a great, wonderful, precious, tried, sure foundation. As we think about this, we must be reminded that as a Christian, and a Christian is a person who, number one, rests their soul on Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ is the foundation when it comes to salvation. He is our foundation. He is our salvation. Is the true Christian Presbyterian? Are they non-denominational? Are they Baptist? Are they Catholic? Are they? No. A true Christian is one who puts their foundation, their life, on the Lord Jesus Christ, their hope of salvation, the one who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Foundation, salvation, is built upon Christ. Romans 10, as I quoted this morning, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, for with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our foundation when it comes to salvation is Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not whether you're Baptist, not whether you're Presbyterian or non-denominational, whatever it may be. It's not, has nothing to do with that. It has to do all with Jesus Christ. He is the true foundation. Now, I'm glad to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I believe Baptist is the closest to the biblical church that Christ established as there can be found in the world today. I believe that, or I would be something else. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm a Baptist from the sole of my feet to the top of my head. I'm Baptist. No, I won't say it. Baptist bread, Baptist dead. I'll be Baptist dead. Anybody know what I'm? No. Some of y'all remember the old saying. But the one who puts their foundation in Jesus Christ rests their soul, their salvation in Jesus Christ. The one who puts trust in another will go to hell. Will suffer the consequences. If they build on the wrong foundation, then they'll put themselves under the wrath of God. Putting your trust in another, other than Jesus Christ, if you put your trust in baptism, or put your trust in a church or tradition, or put your trust in your parents being a Christian, or your parents being raised a Christian, then you are in trouble. The foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not a denomination. It's not good works. It's not baptism. It's not tradition. The foundation is Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who rests their soul in Christ. He is our only hope. I think this is something else that's come to the forefront in the last few months, maybe more so than ever. And that is, the Bible's true or it's not. In other words, the Bible's true or it's a lie. And you can't piecemeal it. You can't say, well, I believe that the Gospels are true, but I believe Genesis is a lie. Or, I believe the Gospels are true, but I believe Genesis is an allegory. That's why I clarified the term allegory this morning. There's a lot of false and misconceptions today as to the Scripture. Listen, the Word of God is the Word of God from beginning to end. I believe it from beginning to end. I believe Genesis chapter 1 just as much as I believe Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. That I believe in the same. I believe in the Genesis account of creation. You can't piecemeal it, or else man becomes the authority. Who decides which is inspired and which is not? Well, God decided that. And so, salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." Jesus Christ is the only way. He said it emphatically. He didn't say He was the best way. He didn't say He was kind of the way. He said, "I am the way." There are not three roads to heaven. There are not seven roads to heaven. The Buddhists will not arrive in heaven. They will not. The one who studies and worships Allah will not arrive in heaven. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. And let's be careful again that we don't get in the conception that, well, because I was born to in a Christian family. Man, what a blessing. My great grandparents were saved and godly people, especially on my dad's side. My grandparents were saved and godly people. My parents were saved and godly people. Now, they were in their 20s when they got saved. But what a blessing to be born into a family like that. But that doesn't save you, teenager. Kids in here, that doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves us. He is the fountain. Am I driving it home enough? I just think because of what's in light of everything, we need to reassess and remind ourselves that the foundation is Jesus Christ. And so you don't give ground either. You stand fast. What the Bible says is what the Bible says. I've heard it many times the last few weeks. Well, you know, the Bible's metaphorically speaking, if the Bible makes sense, seek no other sense. You take the Bible literal, just as it says. Listen, the Bible's metaphorical. You can't pick and choose. The Bible says what it says. By the way, the Bible's going to offend people. It just is. Why? It offends me. I mean that in the right way. In other words, it tells me when I'm wrong. And I don't like to be told I'm wrong. There's not an adult in here that loves, "Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you told me I was wrong." Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that at all. Kids don't even like it, right? Adults really don't like it. But it tells us when we're wrong. So therefore, it offends us. And therefore, we like to discount part of it, or people do. I'm not talking about this crowd. But just stand firm. It's a great foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best foundation. And listen, and we read a moment ago, when all other ground begins to sink, and it's sinking fast, I can stand on a solid foundation. And one day we'll stand before God and give an account. I'm getting ahead of myself, but man, we must be careful. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, my foundation for my soul is Jesus Christ. Number two, and again, we're not preaching anything new tonight. A Christian is one who models Christ. In other words, a Christian is one who is Christ-like, one who is selfless. And we've stated this the last few weeks, but I'll state it again. Simply being saved does not make you a Christian. It's being Christ-like that makes you a Christian. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why were they called Christians first at Antioch? Because they were imitating Christ. And people were watching them and said, hey, they're like Jesus. They not only were they followers, but they were acting and living like Jesus. I want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. I'm commanded to do so. I am to be a follower of Him, but I am also to imitate Him. How are we to do this? By way of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life, as we said this morning. The Bible speaks of, Paul says again in another scripture, that we are to follow in His steps. I love that. If you haven't read that book, In His Steps, you ought to get it. It's a little fictional book, but it's a great little book. We ought to follow in His steps. We ought to model Him. Christians ought to live separated lives. We ought to live lives that to His glory. One day we will stand before Him and give an account. One day we will stand before Him. Are you a model of the Lord Jesus Christ? When people see you, do they see Jesus in you? I'm going to say this at the end of the sermon tonight, but I've said this to several people. Listen, the world's getting darker. We should be brighter. As the world gets darker, our light should be brighter. Gives us a greater opportunity to show the difference between what a Christian is and what a non-Christian is. And it's still, I'm just this close to just doing away with Facebook and some other things, but it's still, as a pastor, and you see the things that people say, whether it's personally or in the paper or on Fox or on Facebook, and you see people who claim to be, listen, they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christian, and yet you see what they do and see what they say, and it doesn't match what Jesus would do and what Jesus would say. You know what that means? It means they're not a Christian. They're not a Christian. You say, and then I love that. They like to pull out that judge not lest you be judged. We're going to cover that scripture too in the next few months. We'll pull that out and preach that because that verse does not mean what they say it means. And we'll pull that out and help you. I want to help you. I want you to be able to say, hey, this is what this verse means. Just like we're going to find out about what it means between the law and grace and what the Old Testament law applies to us. It'll help you as you hear these arguments, misconceptions concerning the Word of God. Being a Christian means to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, we ought to imitate Him. We're to be conformed to the image of His Son. Yes, and we sing it all the time, and I preach it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working. He's conforming me into the image of His Son. And as I go through things in life, He is developing and growing me. I am to follow His leadership. I'm to stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm to follow His leadership. I'm to take up the cross and follow Him. He is my boss. Right? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means boss. Jesus Christ is my boss. When we get saved, He becomes our boss. You don't make Him boss. He is boss. There is a difference. And that's a whole nother doctrine, but He is boss. You don't make Him boss. The foundation. I said this to you several years ago. The walls follow the pattern of the foundation. The walls follow the pattern of the foundation. You know, you don't build a wall off the foundation. It always follows the foundation. And we must follow Jesus. He's our foundation. As we look together, our theme, our purposes, growing together. And the Word talks about, Paul says many times, growing grace. Remember that we as Christians, we ought to be growing. We ought to be growing. We ought to be growing in the Lord. We should never be satisfied with where we're at as Christians. Right? That's where apathy comes in. We must never be satisfied with where we're at in the Christian life. We should constantly judge ourselves, if you would, and look within and say, Lord, am I where I should be as a Christian? Right? Some have a tendency to say, well, preacher, I've grown past you. I'm more educated than you. And that may be true. That may be true. But as Christians, we're to love each other. And yes, you know, you may have grown in your Christian life. By the way, there's men in here who have been in the ministry a long time who you know what I'm saying. Remember A.V. Henderson was here? But as Christians, we grow together. I think many of you and our new members understand that we grow together as a church family. It happens. Last night is a part of that growth as we fellowship together. But more so than that, even as the pastor grows in the Lord, so does the church grow in the Lord. If you listen and follow. As Christians, there are earmarks of a Christian. These are all found in 1 John. And I'm going to cover them all. But one of the earmarks of a Christian is a love for the brethren. A love for the church family. As you think about mimicking Jesus Christ and how are we to do that, one is a love for the church family. We should have a love for each other. We should be there and be willing to comfort one another and help one another and forbear one another. I still love that word. That means just put up with each other. You know what? My family, my brother and my parents and so forth, there's been times and times past where I've just put up with my brother. I love him, but I put up with him, right? And he puts up with me sometimes. Doesn't mean we always get along per se, but we love each other. I have childhood friends, a few, not very many, that I haven't seen in 10 years. But if they were to call me today and say, Eric, I need, you know what? If I have it and I can, it's yours. Why? Well, there was a bond and a love and appreciate it as we grew together, as we grew up together. I'm still working on some of those guys I grew up with. Some of them live in the Metroplex now. A Christian is one who loves the brethren. A Christian is one who understands that to be less is more. That less is greater. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He said, don't seek the first place, seek the last place. And far too many Christians like to be set in the seat, in that special seat. And Jesus said, that's not what it's about. Right? He said, he washed the disciples' feet. He was a servant. He was selfless. He didn't look down at anybody. And we need to be careful of pride and so forth as we attempt to be like Jesus Christ. We need to build upward upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. A Christian is one who models himself after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must model ourselves, we must mimic, we must imitate the Lord Jesus in every aspect of our life. Selfless servants, ministering to others, loving each other, being kind to each other, being gracious to the world out there. It does no good to become irritated and mean and so forth to the world out there. We must be light and imitators of Christ. And yeah, we can, as Christ did, we can be angry and sin not, as Christ did to the money changers in the temple. But be careful of what you get angry about and who you show your anger to. And let's be imitators of Christ. Lastly, a Christian is one who will live for Christ. Who will live for Christ. And we've touched on this some already, but let's go through this. A Christian is one who seeks to glorify God. Do all things to the glory of God. We are here on this earth to glorify Him. In other words, teenagers, kids, adults, all of us, we are on this earth to glorify Him and enjoy fellowship with Him. That's it. That is it. We're here to lift Him up. We're here to glorify Him. Are you seeking to glorify God in all that you do? We are here as Christians. We must view time as given to us by God. In other words, a Christian is one who views times wasted that is not used for Jesus Christ. We preached on this a few weeks ago on being a good stewardship of our time. I told you my life verse is Psalm 90, verse 12. And it's not coming to me. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to number our days. The Bible speaks of redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to be stewards of the time that God has given us. As Christians, we need to use our time for the Lord. Redeem the time. Understand that Christ is soon to return. There's a short amount of time to do the Lord. Let's work till Jesus comes. I almost preached here a couple weeks ago, and we're going to get a sermon together on it. Occupy till I come, he said. Occupy till I come. That means we're to be actively serving him. We are to be actively serving him. We should be involved in the work of the Lord. We should be involved. We should take our time to tell others of Jesus. We should take our time to teach others. We should take our time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. We're to be stewards of our time. A Christian is one who understands that time was given to them by the Lord, and we need to be and use our time wisely. A Christian is one who views their treasure as wasted that is not used for the Lord. In other words, we take what God has given us, we use it for the Lord. And God has been so gracious to us. God's been so good to us. I'm talking about physically good to us. Americans, it's amazing how much God has given and how blessed we are. And we should use our resources, we should use our treasure for the Lord. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of our families, but it means we should use our resources to spread the gospel, the good news of salvation. We should use our resources, and we should give as unto the Lord. Amen? I hope tonight that you're involved in giving. God will bless you for that. Now, we're not TV evangelists around here. We don't believe that if you give God 10, he gives you 20. Actually, they teach if you give God 10, he gives you 1,000. That's crazy. But if you give and you're faithful in giving, and you give your tithe to the Lord and you give your offerings to the Lord, God says he'll bless you. Good measure, running over, shaken together, will mean give unto your bosom. And so we give as Christians, and we use our treasure for the Lord. And that involves all of our treasure as we think about it. It's not ours anyway. We're just giving back a little of what he's given to us, right? And y'all know I'm going down the list here. He or she is one. A Christian is one who views their talents as wasted that is not used for Jesus Christ. And God has given you gifts, treasures, talents, and you ought to be used for the Lord. Do all things to the glory of God. It just astounds me, parents who will allow children to use talents and do things for the world, but won't use those talents for the Lord. Especially in the area of music. Amen. God gave me a voice, not so I can sing to the whatever talent show, but I could sing unto the Lord. Amen. Spend some more time here, but I would get on a soapbox. We're going to use our talents to miss church so we can go play some sport. I just don't see that in the Bible anywhere. I'm just still trying. I know. Preacher, you talk about it all the time. My kids played sports. My kids were pretty good at it and still are. My kids have not, will not, have never missed a service playing some sport that matters nothing in eternity. Thank you. I will move on. Talents. Use our talents for the Lord. Use our talents for the Lord. If you can sing, you should be in the choir. I'm just being very blunt with you. One day you'll give an account for that. If you can sing and you don't use that for the Lord, then one day you'll give an account for that. If you have the ability to teach and God has blessed you with that ability and you don't use that for the Lord, one day you will give an account. The Bible speaks of that. We're laborers together with God. One day we'll stand before him. We'll receive reward. Loss of reward. In other words, wood, hay, and stubble. It talks about being burnt up. In other words, when we get to heaven one day, we'll receive rewards, and then we'll receive the loss of those rewards for those things that we did not do for him. Make sense? And those will be burnt up in front of us. We'll see those. We ought to and understand that we will give an account to the Lord for what we do, for what we use for Him. Use your talents for the Lord. I always get off on music, but that would mean anything. Any talent God has given you and gifts that God has given you, use them for the Lord. Use them for the Lord. I preached last Sunday afternoon that Christ is our all. Is Christ your all? Seek those things which are above. Right? Set your affections on things above. Put God first in your life. Priorities in your life. Parents, put God first. Man, the difference it'll make in your children's life. In other words, if you put God first and you don't put sports first, it'll make a huge difference in your kid's life. You put God first and not other things, God will bless that. He said He would. We need to be careful about the old man and the old nature. That flesh, as we think about this morning with Ishmael, the old flesh is tough. Boy, it's out to get us. And we must understand that Satan's out to get us, the world is out to get us, but we must put on the new man. We are the temple of God. Look down at chapter 3 and verse 16. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself, for any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And he goes on to talk about wisdom. But understand that you are the temple of God. That you are the temple of God. We should not defile our temple. We must put on the new man and live for Him. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let no man deceive you. I think sometimes we... verse 23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. We are His. I think sometimes we get complacent. We're not realizing that we're children of God. And that we are servants of His. He has every right to us. He has every right to our stuff, our treasure, our time and our talent. He has every right to those things. One day we'll give an account for those things. We'll stand before Him. As Christians, we must understand that Christ is our foundation. Is it your foundation tonight? How's that going? How's the love for God and growing going and serving? How's that going in your life? Are you imitating Christ in your life? Are you an imitator of Him? And I remember as a kid being told the illustration many times, if you were to stand before a jury and before a judge and they were trying to try you as a Christian, could they do it? Could they bring in enough witnesses to prove that you are a Christian? I mean, do your coworkers know you're a Christian? Do they identify you as a Christian? I told you they used to call my brother in high school Dippy Dan the Holy Man because he had a Christian testimony. How's your testimony? Are you being a light? Are you an imitator of Christ? Are you living for Him? And as I'm preaching to the choir tonight, most of you are involved and in the Lord's work. But if you're not, get involved in the Lord's work. Serve Him. And it'll be a blessing to you. Oh, land of rest, for thee we sigh. When will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and rest with thee at home. I'm looking forward to that day, right? But we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and then we'll be gathered home. We're just working. We're occupying till He comes. Serving Him, understanding that souls are at stake, and that lives are at stake. People are dying and going to hell. They need Jesus. By the way, it's not just about dying and going to hell. Our world needs Jesus today to help in the here and now, too. What a difference He makes. I pointed this out several times in the last few weeks. I said, is America better now or 40 years ago? Just overall. I'm not talking about economy. Was it better to live in America now? I'll use an example. When I was a kid growing up, and I'm done, by the way. When I was a kid growing up, I lived in the country. Not too far out, little town, Bowie, Texas, north of here. It's a city of 5,000. Wonderful place to grow up. When I was 2, my parents bought a 3-bedroom, 1,200 square foot brick home about 3 miles out of town. It's on a dirt road, but on the dirt road was about 8 other houses. So it was not a development per se, but there was other houses there. There was a big peach farm behind us and open fields behind us, as far as you could see. Great place to grow up. I had a friend down the street. Him and I grew up together. Had the opportunity to see him get saved and his mom and dad get saved. But that's another whole story. But what I loved about it when I was a kid, we lived 3 miles out of town. But I could jump on my, in the summer, I would jump on my bike. I was like 10, 11, 12. I'd jump on my bike. My parents would say bye-bye to me. I would ride my bike 3 miles into town on a highway or on the dirt road. There's two ways to get to town. And I would ride my bicycle all day. The only requirement we had was to be home by dark. That was it. That was awesome. You couldn't do that today with your kids if you liked them. You wouldn't do that. Even if I lived back in, you can't do that anymore. When I was a kid growing up, you never locked anything. Our kids will never get to experience that. We never locked our house. We never locked our cars. Man, I lock my car every time I get out of it now. At the house, it's locked. I mean, you have to lock it. I'm just saying there are areas in which our lives may be better today than it was 40 years ago, economy, things that we have, but certainly, certainly not in the area of life. Why is there that difference today than there was 40 years ago? Sin, that's a good answer. That's the crux of it. If we allow, and this is one of the arguments today, well, and I agree to a certain extent, get government out of some things would really help. Because we could say that government shouldn't legislate morality. But you better be careful. You better be careful. Because they do. We have laws that legislate morality. You can't steal from somebody, you'll go to jail, right? So where's the line? What I'm saying is the line 40 years ago was better than the line today. Everybody see that? Why was it better morally, those type of things, comfort areas in our life? I guess you could say, why was it safer 40 years ago than it is safe today? And that's just where it comes down to. When you take God out of things, that's what happens. I know that's a simple statement, and I could clarify it for the next hour. When you take God out of things, that's what happens. And the more the government takes God out of things, the darker it's going to get. And if you go read my notes, the last line is, be a light. It's going to get darker. All that means is our light should be brighter. It's going to be brighter because the contrast is going to be greater. So therefore, don't slip. Hold fast the profession. Stand firm. Don't quit. Because we can have a greater impact because our light is brighter. Everybody see that? So let's have a greater impact. Let's all stand. Understanding that Christ is our foundation in the area of salvation. I hope you're saved tonight. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. Christ is a foundation when it comes to our lives, and we should understand that we should model our lives after Him. We should follow in His steps. And lastly, to be a Christian means to serve Him, to serve others around us. Are you guilty of being a Christian? That's awesome if you are. Be the best Christian that God encourages, enables you to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for this time. Lord, help us to be imitators of Your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing,